Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about how we need to take charge of our lives by finding ways to undo the suspicion and division that has been occurring in our communities. In October 2018, we were horrified to hear about the assassination of members of a Pittsburgh temple as they were entering the synagogue to observe a Sabbath service. We need to understand and create a sense of respect and appreciation of who we are, regardless of our religious affiliation, and understand that we are all one people who want to live in peace and harmony. To help us move in that direction and to help us take charge of our lives are my guests this evening, the Reverend Canon Andrew D. Gerns, who is the rector of Trinity Episcopal Church in Easton since 2002. He graduated from Drew University with a BA in Religion and the General Theological Seminary in New York City with a Master's of Divinity in 1982. He also studied theology in Oxford, England. And we have Patrick Romano, a member of Trinity Episcopal Church in Easton, who's been a member of the Interfaith Ministry for the past 4 years. And we also have Z. Mada, who is a part of the Interfaith community. And it is a pleasure to welcome you all to help us take charge of our lives on WDIY. Reverend Gerns, how did you become interested in interfaith work?
Interfaith work has been a part of my ministry for a long time. Certainly when I was in Connecticut, I worked with an interfaith outreach and social services organization in Northeast Connecticut, but mainly when I worked as a clinical chaplain in hospitals, where the approach was to help patients, staff, physicians, nurses make meaning out of the situations that they would confront. Illness, death, injury, sometimes a transition in life, a birth. But to do so from the perspective of their faith stance, instead of my telling them how they should believe because I'm a Christian, to help them access their sources of strength, hope, and meaning so that they may make meaning out of the situations they find themselves in and to hopefully deepen their faith. So that started in coming to Easton. We have a long history of interfaith and ecumenical activity, and this kind of grew out of that groundwork that existed here for a long time.
And Pat Romano, how did you become interested in the interfaith work?
Well, one day, Father Andrew invited Z and myself to attend an interfaith dinner and a gathering at Temple Covenant of Peace in Easton about 3.5 years ago. And spending that evening there and seeing so many people of different faiths was truly inspiring, and I had a conversation with Father Andrew after that, and just been running with the ball ever since.
And Z, how about yourself? How did you become interested in interfaith work? You were originally from Lebanon?
Lebanon and Nigeria.
In
Nigeria. I was born in Nigeria. My parents were both Lebanese, but I think it's my life experiences and traveling from both countries and different cultures and traditions gave me that boost or allowed me to move in between. And then also my conversion to Christianity, which happened in 2015, allowed me to interact with different faiths and different cultures.
And what were you converted from?
I was born and raised Druze, but I did not practice, as my parents did not practice it. So I found myself in Trinity Episcopal Church as a Christian.
Well, I'm really very impressed that you all are involved, because this is very important work, and particularly in our times. Do you agree with that, Father Andrew?
Absolutely. We are so tempted and drawn towards division, to silo ourselves in our own little compartments, and that's a very limited way of living. It often draws us into a state of fear and defensiveness instead of outward looking and hopeful looking. And one of the things that I emphasize in our interfaith work is that I don't want people to homogenize their faiths into a religious fog, but I want people to be better at whatever tradition they are a part of, and to then use that as a way of both listening to each other and to find how our faith can bring hope and direction and a vision to our communities.
Can you give us an example in your work of how that has transpired in your work?
Well, there's two things come to mind. Back in 2001, right after the 9/11 attack, there was a much confusion and anger. And so one of the things that we did at Trinity was to work with the other religious leaders in town and with the with Lafayette College to have a massive interfaith service at Trinity. And that was kind of the opening thing for me. I was a brand new rector, and so it was after the 1 year anniversary of 9/11, we did a major interfaith event with music and prayer and so on. And then later on, we've been involved with stuff at Temple Covenant of Peace. Easton has that long history of an interfaith choral festival where traditions, all kinds of traditions, come together just before Thanksgiving to share music from their various traditions. And that's rotated around. That's always, it's been at Trinity, it's been at Temple Covenant of Peace, it's been at the synagogue in Easton. At other churches. And that's been a marvelous way for, on a very practical level, for ordinary lay people to be exposed to both people of other faiths, but also a little bit of the content and style of that faith.
You know, I remember the choral festival that we had, the interfaith choral festival we had this year at Temple Covenant of Peace, mm-hmm. which was attended by maybe 300 of 350, the place was filled. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing that people felt as a result of being there, they felt very special and honored that they were all considered important and honored. Mm-hmm. It was a wonderful feeling, and people went away feeling very special. Mm-hmm. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life, and we're talking this evening about an interfaith movement within the Easton community. And my guests this evening are Pat Romano, a member of Trinity Episcopal Church in Easton and a member of the Interfaith Ministry, and the Reverend Andrew Gerns, who is the rector of Trinity Episcopal Church in Easton. And we're also talking with Zee Madda. Tell us, Pat, how did you become involved in the interfaith work?
Oh, as I said earlier, Ellie, Father Andrew took us to a gathering and dinner at TCP, Temple Covenant of Peace, about 3.5 years ago, and I was very, very inspired. A room full of people from all faiths, from all walks of life, and just joining hands and eating together at the same table. It was just wonderful. And then the discussion time that followed after the dinner was very interesting. And later there was some more talk among people, and I was bitten by it. I thought it was something for me. It hit me right in my heart, something I could do and something I would like to do. And subsequent to my getting involved, I spoke to my fellow parishioner, Z Mata, and asked if he would like to join and help out, and he said, sure. And we've been almost like Peter and Paul all over the Lehigh Valley for 3.5 years now.
And can you give an example of something that really touched your heart as a result of your work, Z?
Yeah, what touched my heart, I saw that when we were trying to make contact with Lehigh Dialogue Center in Bethlehem, PA, the way that the Muslims looked at Pat like a fatherly figure. They respected him and liked the way the message that he was delivering to them. It was very touching, and I could see that they it was genuine love and mutual respect, and that touched me. And also knowing the language, Arabic language, and those Muslims, the Muslims speak Arabic, or a certain part of them, not all of them, but I could see there was also that bond. I could see that.
And did you feel there was a feeling of respect for one another and mutual appreciation?
Absolutely, especially that Lehigh Dialogue Center, because they're not welcomed in their country. And the movement that they belong to, they believe themselves in inter-dialogue. So they respected Jews, they respected Christians, they respected even the Baha'i faith that also is involved with us. So it was like a big family.
We're going to talk more about the interfaith movement in Easton particularly when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
WDIY offers many choices and real voices.
This is Martin Richter. Join me and our other hosts each weekday from 9 to noon for WDIY Classics, medieval to baroque, romantic to modern, along with concert information and artist interviews.
WDIY is the Lehigh Valley's local source for NPR news, public affairs, and diverse music at 88.1 FM and streaming on WDIY.org.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening we're talking with Reverend Canon Andrew Gerns, who is the rector of Trinity Episcopal Church in Easton since 2002. And we're talking with Pat Romano, who is a member of Trinity Episcopal Church in Easton and a member of the Interfaith Ministry. And we're also talking with Z Mata, who is also a member of Trinity Episcopal Church. Father Andrew, tell us, what is the difference between ecumenical and interfaith?
Yeah, thank you for asking. That's a good question. Ecumenical dialogue is dialogue between Christian churches. Interfaith dialogue is dialogue between people of different religions. Now, they overlap, and there are some issues that are similar. So a Christian practice, say, of in a Catholic church might seem very strange to a Christian tradition, say, that's a Mennonite or Amish. But that's an example, but that's inter-Christian dialogue. It's ecumenical. Interfaith dialogue is the kind of thing we're also talking about, where we have Christians in dialogue with Muslims or Jews or Baha'i or across those other traditions with each other. And so we are doing a little bit of both necessarily, but our main focus is interreligious.
And why do you feel that's so important, Reverend Gerns?
You know that old song that we used to sing, at least when I was a kid, Let There Be Peace on Earth and Let It Begin With Me. This is about building a culture of peace, of understanding, of allowing people to take the best out of their faith and be better at it, but in a way that also allows others to grow in their own faith traditions. And my competence and confidence as a Christian does not mean that I cancel out a person who's Jewish or Muslim or Baha'i or Mormon just because they're different.
So that what you're saying is that you're encouraging and trying to build a sense of respect for one another.
Absolutely.
That we are all able to practice our own beliefs, mm-hmm. and we don't have to be conforming mm-hmm. to one another's beliefs, but be respectful mm-hmm. and understand the differences, mm-hmm. if you will. How about yourself, Pat? How are you involved in the dialogue, and what is dialogue?
Actually, I had a meeting with Father Andrew about a year ago, and I just had an instinct that was tugging at me that this had to get bigger, that it wanted to grow, and it just needed some water on that seed. And I felt that I was going to be the one to put the water on the seed. And we discussed it, Father Andrew, bless his soul, always lets us do what we want, and within reason, of course. And he said, do whatever you think you have to do. And
what is dialogue specifically?
Well, specifically, Z and I had a conversation with the president of Lehigh Dialogue Center in Bethlehem. And we told them that we thought that they had the facility that where it would work, and would they be interested. We could do it in our church, but they're bigger, and they're also in the middle of the Lehigh Valley, which was our goal, to get the whole Lehigh Valley involved. Does not exist. We are the only ones in the whole Lehigh Valley doing this.
Which is, when you say doing this,
dialogue.
We
started in the spring. Z and I met with the president of Lehigh Dialogue Center several Sundays in a row after services, hashed out the rules and formation of this group, and we were going to start a charter membership group, which we did in September. We've been meeting every other week since then, and it has been phenomenal. The energy in that room the night of the first two meetings, you could cut with a knife, and how everyone that was in the room, Jews, Christians, Muslims, and Baha'is, were just, their souls were screaming out to talk to one another and to become friends. And they have, and I have a specific example that is really moving. We had a very lovely young woman, Muslim woman, and her husband happened to be part of the dialogue group. And for some reason, a Jewish woman and a Christian woman and a Baha'i woman fell in love with her, and they became like mothers over her right away, which women tend to do a lot. And suddenly, out of the blue, about month and a half ago, she told us, everyone, when she was leaving very quietly, that she was 6 months pregnant. These three women, each one of them put their hands out and held her hand and looked at her and wanted to just hug her. And something wonderful, wonderful happened at the moment. The Jewish woman asked, do you know what the sex of the baby will be? And the reply was, yes, it's going to be a boy. And I'm going to make you a blue baby blanket. Just think about that. A Jewish woman making a blue baby blanket for a Muslim woman. That smells of success to me.
I think that's a beautiful story, and it gave me goosebumps to think that this is possible, and it gives me hope that maybe if we have more of this dialogue and more of this work and interfaith, maybe we can have a more peaceful, respectful world. Do you have any other examples?
Well, I do. We're standing on the shoulders of giants. It's the Lehigh Dialogue Center in Bethlehem. There has been work done in the Episcopal Diocese of Bethlehem for years on ecumenical interfaith stuff. So we're standing on that. What I find remarkable is when we get together every year to sing together as congregations and traditions, to see children dressed up in the garb of their native culture, to sing songs that come out of their own traditions in each other's spaces, to acknowledge our common things we have in common in terms of our faith in God. And also to celebrate the diversity of those expressions, the remarkable piety that we see in each other's traditions, and the way that that informs our ethics and our work with each other and our place in the community, and to be able to accept people who may feel to be strangers in our own land, to say that you are welcome and that your faith is welcome and everything you bring makes us better people as a community, is a remarkable experience.
Well, that's a beautiful way of putting it, Father Andrew. That is a beautiful way of putting it, that everyone is welcome and that each of us brings something very special from our own background, our own faith, and our own way of being. Zee, do you have an example from your own background?
I just want to share one experience that I shared when we had meeting in one of our meetings that I shared an experience that I wasn't participating at that Sunday in Trinity Episcopal Church. So I took the liberty to go to another church speaking about ecumenical. So I went to First Presbyterian Church, and because I have not experienced service in Arabic language, and I wanted to hear it in Arabic. So it was beautiful in First Pres at 10:30, and I didn't realize I didn't have communion. It went all without communion. And then when the service ended, I said, oh, my God, there was no communion. How come? So I shared that experience in our meeting, and then Hafsa, oh, I shouldn't have mentioned names, but she's the one who, you know, had a... She's pregnant. So she's the one who said, oh, yeah, I have a similar experience. I had a friend who was I didn't realize at the time what she was, but when she was telling her experiences about Sufism, I felt connected with her. But later I found, oh, she's different from me. So by sharing my experience and her experience, kind of we related to each other. My story and her story was the same, that basically we're humans of different religions, but if you don't know the religion, we are one.
Yeah, I think that's a very important thing, that we are, no matter what our religion and the way we believe, we are all one people. And particularly if we utilize and follow our faiths to create a better world of understanding and respect, then we're really moving in a direction to help create a better world. Would you agree with that, Father?
I would agree with that. And it's the freedom to allow people to explore spiritually, to understand different religions, to become better people, more ethical, and a more ethical society is really crucial at this time. And this is an important way to get that done.
I want to thank you, Reverend Canon Andrew Gerns, Rector of Trinity Episcopal Church in Easton, Pat Romano, a member of the Interfaith Ministry, for helping us to take charge of our lives, and also Zee
Mata.
Zee Mata. for helping us to take charge of our lives by understanding that while we may have different religious beliefs, we are all one people trying to create a better world with respect and appreciation for all, no matter how we worship. To quote Reverend Gerns, in these violent, dangerous times, people of faith must daily choose to overcome hatred with love, to choose companionship over division, and peace over violence. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.